Blog Talk Radio.
God Thoughts Radio is on the air. I'm Pastor Brad, and this is Saturday, September 5th, 2015, and this is the Prophetic Prayer Hour, show number 2. The bottom line is that this show is all about praying for you. I want to pray God's will into your life, and I want to invite you to call in with your prayer requests. Our number this evening is 646-564-9596. Again, that's 646-564-9596. And I want to ask a question. What difference would it make if you were to call in? Why don't you just stay by yourself and listen to the program? Well, let me share with you a couple of reasons why. The Bible is clear, and it is a bit of a mystery to me, but nonetheless, God's word is clear that there is power in agreement, power in agreeing prayer. Let me read for you from Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. Jesus said this, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in your midst." And I want to tell you that I've got a team of gals that are in prayer right now, this very moment, for me and for you. And so for every person that calls in with your request, you will then come under that prayer power. You'll then come under that power of agreement. So again, the number is 646-564-9596. And I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer right now. Father, thank you so much that you know the plans you have concerning each and every one of us, that in each and every listener's life, whether it be live or via the archives, you know the plans you have, and they are plans for welfare and not for calamity. May give us a future and a hope. And further, Lord, we thank you that we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which you prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And further, Father, we thank you for your promise that says, when we seek you, we will find you, when we search for you with all of our hearts. And so, dear Lord, I pray now over everyone listening that you will fill them with the knowledge of your will, that you will grant them the wisdom and discernment necessary to understand the times and know what to do. Oh, God, enable these dear brothers and sisters to see as you see, to see what you see, and to see how you see. And, oh, God, further I ask that you will keep us far from all lies and deception, especially the deceitfulness of our own hearts. These things I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And then further, I come against any and all demons of hell that have been assigned to or associated with any of our listeners tonight, and I bind you by the authority of Jesus Christ. I cast you out and off and away from them in Jesus' name. I say by his authority, be gone and stay gone. And Father, I receive your angels in sufficient number and strength to wage victorious war on behalf of every single listener to this broadcast. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And by the way, that prayer was chocked full of nothing but scripture. I prayed over you Jeremiah 29:11-13. I prayed over you Ephesians 2:10. That prayer was filled with the prayer of the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1 and Matthew 18:19-20. So let me remind you here at the outset of today's broadcast that there is only one legitimate reason for prayer. There aren't five, there aren't ten, there aren't multiple reasons. Jesus taught clearly, the Bible tells us specifically that there is only one reason for prayer, and that is to loose the will of God upon the earth. Let me say that again. The reason for prayer is to loose the will of God upon this earth. And it's my desire and the purpose of this broadcast is to loose the will of God specifically into your life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says this, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. You see, the power of prayer is found in the will of God. And track with me here. The will of God is found in the Word of God. Therefore, the more we know the Word of God, the more effective we will be in prayer. Do you follow me? You know, James 5:16 tells us, and I talked about this in our last broadcast, that the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. And I want to reiterate the reality of what that is saying to us, that there is prayer that is more or less effective. Notice what it did not say. It did not say the prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much, nor did it say the effective prayer of a man accomplishes much. No, every word of God in God's word is purposeful. It says the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. It means that a righteous man can be in prayer, and yet if he doesn't know how to pray, he's going to be minimally effective. And by the same token, somebody can know how to pray, but if they've got sin in their life, if they're not upright before God, then their prayers are going to fall on deaf ears. And again, if you struggle with any of that theologically, I invite you to listen to last week's broadcast as I dove deeply into the theology of what I just said. You know, in fact, right there, God used the same author, James, that said 5:16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. It was also James that God used in chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, when he said, you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Dear brothers and sisters, I don't want you to not have because you didn't ask. And I want you to grow even as I have and continue to grow in understanding that a prayer, as sincere as it might be, may be lifted up to the Lord, but it's not going to be answered if the motives are wrong. In fact, I've got a quote for you this evening from A.W. Tozer. This is from his book, Keys to the Deeper Life, written in 1957, and he says the following: to pray effectively, we must want what God wants. That, and only that, is to pray the will of God. Dear brother and sister, do you want to grow in your prayer power, in your effectiveness in prayer? Then I invite you to heed the words of A.W. Tozer. To pray effectively, we must learn to want what God wants. And that brings me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. You might recall it. So many people around the world are familiar with the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Does that ring a bell? I sure hope that it does. But I want to dig deeply into the very first request that Jesus taught us to pray. Remember, he said, your kingdom come, and your will be done. Now, I want to invite you to think about this, dear listener. When we pray, your kingdom come, we are loosing the kingdom of God upon the earth. But to do that, for that prayer to be effective, you need to understand one thing. You are saying, your kingdom come rather than my kingdom. Are you with me? That's what that prayer is all about. You see, God has a kingdom, and you have a kingdom. And the question is, will you submit yours to his? Because he further said, your kingdom come, your will be done. And brothers and sisters, that's what prayer is all about. As I mentioned, loosing the will of God upon the earth. Are you willing to pray that? Oh, I know thousands, even millions of people pray that in a rote fashion. They pray that within the context of tradition, but are you willing to pray from the heart in your own life circumstance? God, I want your rule and reign and lordship in my life. That's what it means to pray your kingdom come. And you're willing to say, Lord, I submit my will to your will. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and as such, as per Jesus' definition, he said, if any man wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He who wishes to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake, Jesus said, He is the one who will save it. I want to remind you again that this is a prayer request show, and if you call in, I will pray God's will over your life. And what I mean by that, I'll pray God's word over your life. The number again is 646-564-9596. Again, 646-564-9596. And in the meantime, as I prepared for this program, much of what I prepared for, you will not hear, because just less than 2 hours ago, God sent a prophetic anointing upon me, and I'm going to be obedient to that. God's given me three words of wisdom, I would call them, wisdom for you in reference to what you're dealing with. And this first word of wisdom, I want to speak to those of you who are dealing with worry and anxiety and fear, and you've just got circumstances in your life that are tempting you toward those things. Again, God has a specific message, and I'm going to pray for you momentarily, but he's got a specific word to those of you that are being tempted towards anxiety and fear and worry. If those are issues that you are dealing with, then God has a word for you, and this is it. Are you ready? I pray that you receive this within the loving spirit in which it's intended. But God says to you, very gently but very firmly, get your eyes off of yourself. Dear brother, dear sister, God's word to you is get your eyes off of yourself. You might say, where in the Bible is that found? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's found in many places. Colossians 3:2 is one. God's word says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Hebrews 12:2 puts it this way. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's what God's word is to you, dear one, who is dealing with worry and anxiety and fear. God is saying to you, let it go and get your eyes off of yourself and put them on the Lord Jesus. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. You know, this is the essence of what Jesus taught in John 15, verse 7 and 8, when he said, abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. You see, if you're abiding in him, you're not going to be worrying. You're not going to be fearful. You're not going to be filled with anxiety. And if God's word abides in you, as it does in this broadcast, Colossians 3:2, set your mind on the things above. Get them off of the things that are on the earth. Jesus, the Bible says of you, fix your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off of yourself. Fix them on Jesus. If you will, as Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, then you have an opportunity during this very moment to have a Job-like experience. Do you remember what happened with Job? If any man ever had a reason to worry, it was Job, right? If any man ever had a reason to be depressed, to have his eyes on him, to have a pity party, it would be Job, right? In Job 42:10, it says this, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. Do you see it? The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he got his eyes off of himself and he put them on God. And when God called him to pray for his friends, the Bible tells us that that's when all things were restored to him. Father, I pray now for those listening who are struggling with worry and with fear and with anxiety. Father, I thank you that you are the answer to their concerns, that you are their solution, that you are bigger than the things that they're tempted to worry about. Father, I pray for these that your kindness will lead them to repentance. As your word says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Father, I ask that you watch over your word and perform it, and I loose from heaven your power in these listeners' lives to get their eyes off of themselves, set them on the things above, to get their eyes off of their circumstances, and to fix their eyes on you, Lord Jesus. It is in Jesus' name that I pray these things. Amen. Now, I want to speak to another group of people that are listening to this broadcast, and you've got a hope for something in the future, and yet the reality is you are in waiting mode. And I want to speak blessing over your life. I want to speak blessing by way of God's word over your life. I want to bless you with the following. Number one, those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not get weary. Number two, the Bible says that God acts on behalf of the one who waits on him. Number three, the third blessing I have for you is that God's word says, indeed, all who wait upon the Lord will not be ashamed. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And then the fourth blessing that I have for you is in Isaiah 64. God's word promises that God will act on behalf of the one who waits for him. And then finally, a fifth blessing for those of you that are in that position from Psalm 37, verse 9. Those who wait for the Lord will, not might, will inherit the land. And, of course, inheriting the land is reflective and representative of the fulfillment of God's promises and purpose in your life. Amen. Again, if you have a prayer request or a prayer need, oh, how I invite you to take advantage of this opportunity for agreeing prayer. Again, the number 646-564-9596. And there is a second word of wisdom that God has given me for a group of people, and some of you are listening right now, and this is for you. And again, track with me here. I always ask my listeners to be like the Bereans. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 11, it talks about a group of people called the Bereans. They received the word with eagerness. Then they went back to the scriptures to see if what was being said was really true. And that's what I always invite you to do. You must take that attitude in this age of delusion in which we live so that you avoid deception. But having said that, I've got a strong word for some of you, a very, very strong word. There are things, this is the word from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, there are things that you are praying for and God says stop. God says, stop praying for them. There's no need. You do not need to pray for these things. Now, what in the world does that mean? It's like what God said to Moses in Exodus 14:14. He says, why are you praying and crying out to me? Go tell the people to go forward. Let me explain why God would say to you, stop praying. I want to suggest to you that the Bible teaches that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. I know that you all would agree with that. Well, faith, very simply, is taking seriously what God has already obligated himself to do for you. In other words, if God has already promised to do something for you, then it's not right, it's a waste of time to pray for it, to ask for something that God has already committed to do for you. Are you with me? What this is saying, I'm talking about the conditional promises of God. Let me explain. Let me give you three examples. Example number one, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Do you see that? There's an our part. Commit your works to the Lord. And when we do, the Bible says, your plans will be established. Do you see it? So it's a waste of time to spend time in prayer saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, establish my plans. No, God has already spoken. You commit your works to him and your plans will be established. Are you with me? Yes, there are things that you've been praying for where God says, stop it. Just do the our part and put your trust in him. faith is taking seriously what God has already obligated himself to do for you. Let me give you a second example, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Dear one, are you praying that God will fulfill the desires of your heart? Well, God says, stop it. He's already promised that if you will delight yourself in him, he will fulfill the desires of your heart. Are you with me? And now, a word of wisdom for many of you in this regard. There are things that you are praying for that God says, stop praying. I've already obligated myself to do this for you. Are you ready? Matthew 6:33, Jesus says this, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, the context, what are all these things that will be added to you? Dear brother and sister, they are the fulfillment of your needs. Philippians 4:19 promises, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Dear brother and sister, I'm telling you, are you praying for your needs? Stop it. The Lord would say, stop it. Start seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and God will meet your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Don't you see it? Oh, that the word of God will dwell richly in your life today. Oh, that God would watch over his word and perform it in your life this very moment. If you, the answer to your need, are you in need, dear brother? Are you in need, dear sister? Are you in need of God's provision? Then simply take God seriously on the things that he's already obligated himself to do for you. And I'm here to tell you, in agreement with the word of God, that God has already said, I'll take care of your needs if you will but seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. Oh, Father, I pray for this group of people. I thank you so much for the awesome power of your revealed word. And I thank you that we're learning together how to become effective in prayer, how to become prayer warriors, how to loose your will upon this earth. And your word tells us that a big part of that is learning to walk by faith and not by sight. As Proverbs 3:5 says, learning to trust in you with all of our hearts and not lean on our own understanding. Oh God, faith, as your word describes, is taking seriously what you've already obligated yourself to do for us. And so, Lord, for these people that have been praying wrongly, they simply need to fulfill the our part, and you'll take care of your part. Oh God, I loose your spirit of loving conviction into their life. I loose your kindness again that would lead them to repent over things that are prayers that you are not calling them to pray. And for, Lord, for those who are who have need, for those that are in deep need right now, and they're looking to you, Father, we acknowledge that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God of Abraham. Jehovah Jireh says the Lord's provision will be seen. Not might be, not could be, not sometimes be, but faith is taking seriously the reality of who you are. And who you are is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord's provision will be seen. And thus says the Lord over those of you that have need, the Lord's provision will be seen as you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Oh God, watch over this word and perform it. Cause the voice of your authority to rain down upon the earth and upon your called ones. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Ladies, I want to thank you so much for praying for me. The Spirit of God is so strong both tonight among our live listeners and for those who God is going to touch through this message as it goes to the archives. Oh, God, I'm so thankful for the mystery and the awesome. There is a third and final word of wisdom that God has given me for some of you, and I want to share it with you right now, and that is this. For those of you that are in a seemingly impossible situation, I know I've been there many times over the last 2 years. I'm in the same position you are. This is a word actually for me as well. But the bottom line is, you do have faith. It's like the guy in Mark. I do believe, help my unbelief. But the bottom line is the, you know, there's, it's not, you believe that God is a God of miracles, but the reality of this situation is it's just straight up impossible. It's just not going to happen. You would need a miracle of miracles, and the reality is you've concluded it's just not going to happen. It cannot happen. And I'm with you. I understand. But I'm here to tell you, thus says the Lord, with man, it is impossible. You're right to think that it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And God is speaking to me tonight, and he's speaking to those of you that are in this situation. God is the God of the impossible. And it is God who has not only allowed this circumstance into your life, but for those of you who are there listening right now, actually, it's God who caused it, because he wants to bring about a greater glory. It is your situation in principle. It's like John chapter 9. Do you remember the blind man? Jesus and his apostles came upon a blind man, and the apostles asked Jesus, who was it that sinned? Was it he or his parents that sinned? And Jesus said, it was neither he that sinned nor his parents. It was in order that the glory of God might be seen in him. And that's what's going on with you in your life. It is God at work in your life, because he's going to do that miracle. And when that miracle happens, he's going to get the greater glory. And I want to give you a strong word of admonition. When he does it, when he does it, I'm about to go to prayer and I'm about to loose God's will into your life. When God does it, you better treat him as holy. This is Deuteronomy 32:51 says, did you know that God kept Moses out of the promised land, even the great Moses? Why? Because he broke faith with God and he didn't treat God as holy in public. And I want to give you an admonition right now. On the other side of this miracle, will you agree with me right now? Will you make that commitment? Will you let your yes be yes and your no be no? On the other side of this miracle, it is God's will and purpose that you bring Jesus public glory for doing what could not have been done. Don't let the enemy steal from you. Don't let others fluff it off. God is a God of miracles, and he's speaking to you in this moment that when he does it, you be sure and treat him as holy. Oh, Lord, thank you so much that you are the God of the impossible, and I thrill to be able to pray for those in agreement with the gals that are praying for us right now. We delight in agreeing together that with man it's impossible, but there is nothing impossible with you. And over these circumstances that you've not only allowed into our lives, but you caused them, you brought them about, you did so for the greater good, because in bringing them about, you already knew that your hand of the miraculous was going to turn this thing around, was going to turn the curse into blessing. You was going to turn the disaster into destiny, fulfilled destiny. So, Lord, I pray for every individual that's in that position. Oh, God, I loose the gift of faith. I loose the gift of faith that says I do believe, help my unbelief, and then, Lord, help that unbelief. Rise up, men and women of God, and walk by faith and not by sight. Rise up, men and women of God, and jump out of the boat as Peter did and run to Jesus. And as you walk by faith and not by sight, that is the other side of the miracle. Faith plus patience equals the inheritance of God's promises. That's Hebrews 6:12. And I realize just like that, we are out of time. I'm so thankful for those of you that have joined us during this broadcast. I'm simply going to close in prayer right now. Dear God, thank you for your manifest presence in our midst, and thank you for the privilege that we've had to loose your will upon this earth. Father, whatever has been of you, multiply it, magnify it, and cause the voice of your authority to be heard. Watch over your word and perform it. In Jesus' name. And finally, Lord, I lay hold of your promise in Isaiah 58, which says, you speaking, my word, when it goes forth, will not return void without accomplishing the purpose that I set for it. In Jesus' name I pray.